we won't have a call for 3 hours.
And
yeah. you get stuff caught up, and then you got somebody going out of town. Well, get that done. You got to get that. And then there's a report that needs to be done. And then just one, and then two people are, well, I had a guy call me, last Thursday or something, and says he's got to get this account moved. Well, they don't usually move that fast. And now, because I've been busy today, I'm the only one in my department today, so I've been busy. And he was like, he emailed me and said, if you can't get to me, I'll see if I can get somebody else in the office to help me. Well, there's nobody else to help. So then I texted him, but then I emailed him back and said, hey, I got my report done. Give me a call when you get a chance. And now I'm waiting for him to call me back. And lo and behold, here you are again. So it doesn't usually happen. Doesn't usually happen like that. So let's go to your score. You're at 82, you said?
Yes.
All right.
That's what it says. Because I was like, gosh, that's awfully high. But I've already done it once. I think I got like 78 the first time or something.
Okay. Well, if you're still in the ball, still in the same ballpark, basically. So if you'll come down to where you've got your score, the row of numbers below all of our the colorful lines.
Yes.
The names of our funds. And you go to 82, mm-hmm. and you draw an imaginary line straight up from that 82. Well, I'm sorry, where 82 would be between 80 and 85.
Yeah.
And any one of those colorful lines that dissects your line is potentially suitable.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. I was wondering what that all meant, but okay.
So it eliminates five funds. It eliminates conservative growth up at the top, and then fixed income, growth and income, high yield bond, and defensive strategies.
Yeah. Okay. And then those are, it talks about all those in this book here.
Yeah, that's what we're going to go over. We're going to go over that too.
Okay.
That's all part of this.
Okay.
So if you'll, so what this is telling us, let me tell you what this is telling us. Okay. You're 82. If you come down below where you've got your score, on the raw numbers below that, it says conservative on the left-hand side and aggressive on the right-hand side.
Right.
Okay. So if we split the middle and say 55 to 60 is the middle, or what we call medium risk, you're mm-hmm. almost all the way over to aggressive.
Yeah.
Means you're willing to take a good amount of risk, but you're not really willing to risk the farm.
Yeah. I know, because of my age, basically, too. But and plus the way the economy is right now. But anyway, so.
So what we get from this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Of our 12 funds are potentially usable, and you're an aggressive risk taker.
Yeah, I've always kind of been that, but it's not done me very well. But
okay, so from there, let's go from there to the quarterly fact sheets. Do you have the sheets that say starts with small cap value?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it right here.
You got a packet of those, right?
Yeah.
So front and back is all of small cap value.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's.
It's got mid, small, mid, large, aggressive.
Yeah, each one of these pages, the front and back, each one of these pages represents the history of each fund.
Right.
So small cap value is the first page, front and back. The next sheet is large mid cap value, front and back, and so on. So the information that you're looking at is the information you're going to use to determine whether or not you want to use this fund or not.
Yeah, and at the bottom where it says the 5-year, 10-year, the growth is 9.93 or whatever. So, so the higher the number, the percentage, obviously, the better the more money they're making, correct?
Yeah, well, let's go through a couple of these and you start comparing them, and then you'll see how they might line up with your situation. Okay, so I'm going to show you what to be looking for on these. Mm-hmm. This has got a growth chart of $10,000.
Yeah,
and I think your sheets are a little older than mine. Yours probably say March of 2000, and
they say December 31st.
Okay, so you're even farther back. Okay, so your numbers are going to be a little bit different than mine, but
okay.
The growth chart is $10,000. An illustration of $10,000. If you'd have put right there on the graph, the first part of this thing.
Yeah.
If you'd have put $10,000 in this fund back in December of 2012, and fast forward to December of 2022, that $10,000 is more than doubled.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So it's in 10 years, it's more than doubled. Below that, you've got inception date, year to date, 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year, and SI. You see that?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Then it says without sales charges, class A, 3 of 94, and then a bunch of numbers going across the page.
Right.
Then it has class C, 2 of 04, and numbers going across the page.
Right.
Okay. Then it's got iShares and then Russell Index. So we're not going to look at those. What I want you to do is come down to where it says with sales charges. And then you've got only you and I can only invest in Class A and Class C shares. Okay, so that's what we have left. So with sales charges, Class A and Class C, and if you go all the way over to the last column, the SI column, and circle those numbers. Just put a big circle around those two numbers.
With the sales charges or without the sales
charges? With sales charges. With sales charges. Just with sales charges.
Okay.
That's going to be your reference when you go back and look at this. You don't have to look at all these numbers. But what you've got there is that's the average return SI since inception.
Okay.
Okay, so the Class A has been around since 94. So for almost 29 years, the average has been, what, 7-something? What do you got there?
Yeah, 7.18, yeah.
Okay. And then Class C is 6.7-ish. 6.66, something like that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the average return since this funds have been around. So that's been around for since 04, so for 19 years. So for 29 and 19 years, these are the averages for these funds since they've been around.
Okay.
With all the costs taken out of it. So this is actually a net return to you, the investor.
Okay.
All right. So let's flip it over to the back. So that's really the main things to be looking for on the front page. How well has the $10,000 growth chart done over the last 10 years? How long has the fund been around? And what's their average since they've been around?
Okay.
So that 7.18 is for 29 years. That's been the average.
Okay.
Class C, the 6.66 is a 19-year average. All right, so let's go to the back side of that page. We want to go over to the right-hand column. And I want you to come down to expenses percentage.
Okay. I see that, yeah.
So you've got gross A, C, and I. So we're only going to look at A and C. I believe they're still 1.56 and 2.31.
That's or is it 1.46 and 2.21. On the A and the C.
Uh huh.
Mine says 1.46 for A and then 2.21 for C.
On the gross?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's on the small cap one?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. I didn't realize it went up. I'm showing 1.56 and 2.31 now. But anyway, that's the cost that you're charged for those shares, Class A or Class C. And the A share, if you'll notice, is 0.75% lower than the C share.
Right.
Okay. The reason for that is the Class A is what we call a loaded fund. You pay up to 5.5% as a load, and what you get in return is that lower annual cost.
Okay.
Okay.
So you pay more up front, you're saying?
You pay a little bit up front to lower it, okay? And that's typically for a long-term investor. Let's think of it this way. Have you ever qualified for a mortgage on a home?
Yeah.
Okay, and you're sitting in front of the loan closer, and this is just an illustration, but you're sitting in front of the loan closer, and the loan closer says, okay, Mr. Manning, this interest rate on this 30-year fixed mortgage is 3.5%. But if you want to buy it down to 3.25%, you have to pay a point up front at closing.
Yeah.
Okay. That's similar to what this is. You sacrifice some money up front, but 0.25% savings over a 30-year mortgage is huge.
Yeah.
So this is similar to that, but it's also generally used for long-term investors. If you're investing for 10, 15, 20 years, then A share is a good option. Okay. Class C, there is no front load. So when you invest $10,000, let's say, we're going to put all $10,000 into the investments for you. You're going to pay 0.75% higher. You're going to pay the 2.31 or whatever. But you're going to, after 7 years, that's going to convert to the A share price.
After how many years? Eight?
After that money, 7 years. After that money has been with us for 7 years, mm-hmm. we're going to reduce that to the A share price. So it's kind of like we're going to get our money, just you're not coming out of your pocket up front.
Okay. It is okay.
And that's usually for a short-term investor.
So A is more long-term and okay.
See you short-term. Man, I have had a day. Okay. And now I'm the only one in my department, and the only one answering chats online. So I guess I'm making my money today, or earning my money today. I guess would be the best way to put that. Okay, so that's what you've got on A. The A share and the C share, that's your difference between the two different options that you have. A is for short. A is for long term. C is for more for short term.
Okay. And in short term, we're talking about less than 7 years. Long term would be greater than 7 years.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I mean, theoretically, I would love to do like the greater than 7 years, but I don't know about realistic.
Gotcha. Well, that's the only problem. You got to make that decision beforehand, so your intentions are to be a 7-year investor, or your intentions are to be long term. We know things change, okay?
Yeah.
But you just got to figure out what you're hoping you're going to do, and plan on what you're hoping to do.
Well, that's why I was thinking about, instead of putting it all into there, just putting some of it into the Timothy plan, leaving that alone, and then using my other one in case I did, because I'm already fully vested in that one.
Gotcha.
I'm not sure how, I know I pay a fee up front, but I'm not sure if it was front loaded or not, because I've been with the company for a while. But, so, I mean, I'm not going to be losing or gaining any money there. You know what I'm saying? Not losing any money as far as the payment for the mm-hmm. plan.
Gotcha.
So if I could, like even up to half of what, or, you know, is in there, or even more than half, then I could put that in there for 10 years, consider it long term, and then just use that as my other account as if something I needed to take out. I mean, does that sound like a plan or?
Well, that's really one of those things I can do a lot of talking about. Let's go back over what your situation is. Are you trying to move a retirement plan to us now, correct?
Yeah, for my work, and I talked to them, and I'm fully vested. They said I could roll over all of it if I wanted.
Okay, all right. So yes, you could. Can you take a portion of that out of there? Yes, you can, and then open something with us and split these investments up differently than what you already have there. Then that would be yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing I like about the Timothy plan is making sure that it's not going into anything that. I mean, you know, sometimes they get sick at your stomach thinking that maybe some of the investments that you're making are going to fund Planned Parenthood or something, you know?
Well, let me ask you this, and this is going to, it might come off as curt, but I'm going to apologize beforehand.
That's okay.
It's not.
You don't have to apologize.
Okay. Let me see. Hang on. I got this chat. There's something I can't answer. And of course, now I got to find if there's anybody else in the office that can. Excuse me. I am having a day. And what did I do? Just shut it off? I bet I did. Oops.
Sorry, Seth.
All right. I am having a day. Okay. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Let me see if I can get Brian to answer this chat. He's there.
Y'all need to check into this too, Steph. You can always just. Yeah, 401k, what was that? Not now. I'm after my 90 days. Oh, I'm afraid you could do it into this plan. You can do it into this plan.
Let's see if he's in there. Oops, sound like you did, I think. Let's see what we got. That might get me back on concentrating with our conversation.
You're good.
Yeah, he's got it. Okay. All right. So you've got, you can move monies over to us. The drawback to, taking part of that money out of there and then moving the other part with us, guess what? The money that you've got sitting there now is still going to be investing in those things that you don't want to be invested in.
I know. And I'm not even sure without looking at my plan, what all that is investing in.
Well, experience tells me, I've been doing this for 16 years. Typically speaking, I have yet to have somebody that's an employer plan that wasn't conscientious of being biblically responsible that wasn't or that was. Okay, so if they're not saying that they're biblically responsible, then most likely there's stuff in there that you wouldn't be happy with that you're invested in. Now, we can always check a couple of those. I mean, I'm just doing it. I'm shortcutting this thing. And keep in mind, I'm a salaried employee, so I'm not trying to sell you anything, okay?
Yeah.
So just from experience, there's a really, 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 really good chance that whatever you're invested in, there is some violations where they're supporting the things that you're not happy with.
Well, and I work for HCA, which is a hospital corporation. So, But anyway, so do I have to decide like which ones I want to put the money into? Like this, like I was looking back, some of these, like this aggressive growth doesn't look like it's doing very well, or the growth in income doesn't look like it does very well.
Well, usually what I do is I walk you through these and try to help you start comparing them. And then when we get done with it, your homework is going to be to look at these like you're starting to do now. And let me give you a little bit more information, and then you'll understand what it is you're doing and how you compare one to the other. Okay?
Okay.
But just to give you some kudos, the aggressive growth is not doing as well as the small cap value.
Okay. Right.
So let's do this before we move off of small cap value. Let's come back to small cap value and let's be on the backside of small cap value.
Okay. And you could always move these around
Correct.
Okay.
With no cost.
Okay.
Okay. So if we're on the second page of small cap value, we kind of recap on what we've learned on small cap value so far. It's been around for a long time. The 10-year growth chart has more than doubled in 10 years. The average returns have been 6.6 to 7.18. And I've shown you the difference between A and C. The only thing I haven't shown you is what is the risk associated with this fund. Okay? So on this second page here, you come to the middle of the page on the left-hand column. It says fund risk.
Yeah.
Okay? Then you got to come down. You got all the list of the funds again, kind of like what we did on the worksheet. Except we've changed it up a little bit. We put conservative growth and strategic growth down at the bottom, and we put a dotted line between those to separate those two from the rest of them.
Yeah.
Okay. The reason for that is conservative growth is what we call and strategic growth are funds which we call fund of funds, meaning you could have a sliver of all the other funds in those. That's what makes up those funds is the other funds. Okay, so that's where you don't pick those. That's where our manager picks those. Okay, but the other 10 funds, you get to pick. Okay, so that's what we're trying to show you how to do now. Okay, so if we look at this now, the order that these things are listed is their order of risk. Okay, fixed income is at the top of the list. That's our lowest risk fund. And the theory behind investing is the lower the risk, the lower the potential earnings. The higher the risk, the higher the potential earnings.
Right.
Okay. So we're looking at this list. Fixed income is at the top, so that's low risk. As you come down to the bottom of that list, aggressive growth is our highest risk fund.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at small cap value, and it's kind of in the middle of this list, if you'll see there.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So small cap value is what we call a medium risk fund.
Okay.
So medium risk, been around a long time, and the average returns on it has been 6.6 to 7.18.
Okay.
Okay. So now let's flip down to the aggressive growth fund.
Okay. Are you on the back page?
Let's do the front page first. We want to try to compare this one to the small cap value. Okay.
No, but I mean, which page is that on? It's like in the very back, I guess.
No, it's the fourth page down.
Okay, I got it. Yeah.
Okay, you got a growth chart there, $10,000. Mm-hmm. It's more than doubled.
Yeah.
Okay. And then it's the inception dates. Class A has been around since 2000. The Class C has been around since 2004. So for 22 years and almost 19 years, the average returns, they've been around. So you come down to where it says with sales charges, Class A and mm-hmm. Class C, go all the way to the SI column and circle SI. All right, yeah. I'm sorry, circle those numbers. I'm showing a 3.5 and a 6.11, but I think it was 3.28 and 5.9 or something like that.
It was like 2.86 and 5.39.
Okay, 2.86 and 5.39. Okay, so those are they've come up a little bit since the beginning of the year, okay? But last year was horrible for everybody, so you're still looking at last year numbers, okay? So, but those numbers are a whole lot lower than what we saw in a small cap value, right? The one we just looked at.
Yeah.
Okay. So now flip it over to the second page or the back side of that. Come down to our list of funds. We're looking at aggressive growth. So that's at the bottom of this list.
Yeah.
So that's our highest risk. And those returns are lower than what you can get on a medium risk fund.
Yeah. Okay. And expense data. Okay.
All right. Now, if you'll just look right to the right of there, where it says aggressive growth on that list, look to the right. It says calendar year returns.
Yeah.
Look from 2017 to 2022. Look at those numbers. Yeah. 19%, negative 12, positive 27, 36, 18, negative 26.
Yeah.
So you're looking at those have been the returns for the last 7 years. Why are they so much higher than the historical average of this fund?
Yeah, because it's going back and taking it from the history.
What it is, if this fund's been around for 22 years, let's say, okay, it's been around for 22 years, and the last 7 years have been good, that would tell you that the first 15 years, it was horrible.
Okay.
Okay, does that make sense?
Yeah.
And even with these, if you total up these last 7 years and divided it, those returns are much greater than the average.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
you don't want to do the last 7 years or since about 2017.
Yeah. So it's done well. So let me just put that into perspective. I'm close to retirement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, because aggressive growth is our highest risk fund. I'm not interested in that anyway because of the fact that the risk is too high. If the markets are that volatile, I mean, if you look at the growth chart on the front, it goes up and down, up and down, up and down. Even though it's up, there's a lot of volatility to it. Well, I can't afford the volatility if I'm looking to hold on to the money I have for retirement.
Right.
Okay. I'm no longer accumulating money. I'm trying to hold on to what I have for retirement. I'm within 3 to 5 years of retirement. Okay? So... Yeah. Somebody's 35 years old, 40 years old, or so, they might say, this is volatile, and it's got some ups and downs. I've got time to recover if it does take a hit, because they got 25 to 30 years to invest. Okay, so somebody likes our funds. Doesn't mean that all of our funds are for everybody. Okay, so we're looking at aggressive growth in the 2-point-something to 5-point-something, and it's a high-risk fund. We're showing you small cap value that's medium risk in the 6.6 to 7.18, and it's medium risk. Let's come down a couple more pages to the fixed income fund.
Fixed income is on the... Okay.
Look at that graph.
Yeah.
Pretty flat, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's designed that way. Okay. It's not ever going to set the world on fire, But notice there's not a lot of dips in it either.
Yeah.
So it's more stable. So when the markets really tank, this is still going to show some favorability because it's more stable. It's not ever going to make a whole lot, but it's never going to lose a lot. So come down to your average returns on the SI with sales charges. What are you about? Just about 1 and just about 2%?
Yes.
Okay. As bad as those numbers are, that's better than having your money just sitting in a bank.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So flip it over to the backside of that fixed income.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to recap. Fixed income is low risk because it's at the top of this list. So we're going to camp out on this page. So you might want to just fold it over and let's just sit on this page. This is where we're going to finish our illustration is on this page.
Okay.
So we're recapping fixed income, average returns 1 to 2%, been around for a long time, and it's low risk. Small cap value is medium risk, 6.6 to 7.18%, and it's medium. Aggressive growth is high risk in the just under 3 to just over 5. Okay? So your job or your homework, if you choose to accept it, is to separate those sheets. Go ahead and eliminate or set aside all the ones that don't come across your score.
Okay.
And I think that leaves you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 if you included the strategic growth, which is one of those fund of funds. Okay. So you've got those to pick from. So what you do is you go through those 6 or 7 there and look at them just like we just did. And put in a maybe pile or get rid of the ones you don't want to use with the other ones that you've already eliminated. So you want to come up with a handful of funds that you want to start with, 3 to 5, 2 to 5, whatever. Okay? That I can't tell you what to do. I can encourage you to do more than one, because if you do more than one, you're at least diversifying.
Yeah. Okay? Well, I definitely want to try to get into Israel Common Values. I don't know why. I feel like for the last 5 years, it's been like, maybe not 5 years, last 3 years, it's been like you should invest in something in Israel for some reason.
Gotcha. Well, let me ask you, do you have a pencil handy? A piece of paper, a pen and paper? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like for you to do here on this list of funds, mm-hmm. I'm going to kind of give you little dividers. So if you'll come down to between defensive strategies and large mid-cap value,
mm-hmm.
and draw your little horizontal line off to the left here, just kind of, just what we're doing is just kind of drawing lines to separate these. Okay, so defensive to large mid cap value.
Above the defensive strategies,
yeah, but like if you just took the red line and just extended it out to the left.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to the line underneath large mid cap growth.
Mm-hmm.
And underline and draw that line a little farther out to the left. Now what you've got is you've got three categories. You've got low risk from defensive strategies up. So you want to put low or whatever. The middle ones are medium risk.
The middle three lines?
Yeah, middle three, correct. Uh-huh. Middle three, correct. And then the bottom three are high risk.
Okay.
So if you look at that, if you knowing where your score is, the 82, all of your choices are medium to high risk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
You'll find that you'll eliminate a couple of those just by doing your homework.
So the top three pretty much is, if I'm really, okay.
So that's
pretty much the defensive strategies, high yield bonds, growth and income, and fixed income are like price stuff I don't even need to look at.
Correct. Those are not enough risk to according to your score anyway. You doesn't mean you can't use them, but you'll see when you start comparing these other ones, like you'll see why you don't if you study these like we just did. How long they've been around? What's the average return? That kind of stuff, and you'll say, and it's medium risk or low risk. It's like, nope, I need something a little bit more aggressive than that.
Okay. Those are 6. You're saying I need to pick how many of those?
No, anywhere from, I can't tell you what to pick. You can pick all of them if you want to. That's totally up to you. But I encourage you to do more than one, because if you don't do more than one, you're not diversifying.
Okay, and then another question. So what you're saying is whoever You wouldn't be my plan advisor. There'd be someone else, or
no? We don't give investment advice. I can get you right to the point where you have to make the decision. I can't make it for you.
Okay, but I thought you said someone else picked some of them.
What you're going to do is you're going to go through these because you got to decide which fund you're going to go into. You have to decide.
Mm-hmm.
So how you do it is by what kind of like what we just did. You look at the returns on the front, find out how long they've been around, and then you, if you like the returns, you flip it over and see where it is in the risk. Like you picked it out real quick, small cap value versus aggressive. Well, small cap value is much more favorable because it's low risk or medium risk with better returns than something that's high risk.
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess I thought earlier you said that I had to pick some because. So what you're saying is whatever ones I pick, they already have companies in that plan.
Yeah, you're just picking. Yeah, you're picking small cap value. Let's say we have managers that manage those funds. They try to grow that the best that they can to try to grow, because if they grow it to where you make money, guess what? They make money and we make money. Okay.
I guess that's what I meant. They're managers, not really an advisor.
Correct. Managers. You pick the funds to your comfort level. Hey, I want four funds. I want 20% in this fund. I want, because it's low risk. I want 25% in this fund because it's medium risk, and I want to put the other 55 in high risk.
Kind of like what I had to do with my 401k. Switch it around.
Yeah, very similar. But this, I'm hoping you're going to be better informed when you see which fund that you're going into. So if you've got a pencil handy, I'm going to do one last illustration off of this page. Because I've kind of given you some parameters on the low risk, medium risk, and high risk. Your homework is going to be to pick the funds, pick out a stack of funds, and then decide which ones you want to work with, and then start figuring out how much percentage of each one of those you want to put in. Money you want to put into those. Okay? So.
And then I can change that later.
Yep. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you one last illustration to show you how to do that. Okay? So if you got a pencil handy, and this should be about another 10 minutes, we should be good here. Okay? So I'm going to pick from the bottom of this list and work my way up. I'm going to pick five. Okay? I'm not picking five for you. I'm picking five because the math is easier to understand when I do it this way. Okay? That's the only reason I'm doing it. All right?
I get it.
So I can't tell you what to do, but I encourage you to do more than one. So 2 to 5, 2 to 3, 2 to 4, whatever you want to do. Okay? But I'm going to pick five funds, and we're going to put money into them. Okay? So let's go this way. Let's go aggressive. Aggressive growth. Israel.
Which is pretty aggressive.
Small cap value. Large mid cap value. And fixed income. Now, again, these aren't not for you. This is just a general illustration.
Right.
Okay. So you got five funds there. Aggressive, Israel, small cap. Large mid cap value and fixed income.
Yeah.
All right. So let's do this. If we took your money, which is 100%, and divided it by five, because that's how many funds we have there, that'd be 20%. So you'd put 20% in aggressive, Israel, small cap, large mid cap, and fixed income.
Or you could put more in one.
Hold on. Don't get ahead of me here. I'm trying to keep it in perspective so we can build to that. And you'll see what you'll answer that question here in a second. So 20% aggressive, 20% Israel, 20% small cap, 20% large mid cap, and 20% fixed income. So when you first look at this, you say, okay, it's balanced because it's diversified because you have five different funds. You're spreading out your risk. The money is in there split up evenly, so it's balanced. But let's drill down a little bit deeper. If you look at that, aggressive and Israel are the first two funds there. Those two funds are at the bottom of my list, right? Bottom of our list on the back of the page here. Okay, so those are considered high risk. So this would represent, this illustration would represent 40% of the money is in high risk.
Okay.
Small cap value, large mid cap value are medium risk funds. So that would represent 40% of the money's in medium risk. And fixed income is low risk, so 20% of low risk. Okay? So let's say that you thought 40% of your money in high risk is too much, but you still like those funds.
Yeah.
Then you just reduce the percentages. Let's say you did 10% in each one of those. And then you moved the other monies in the money that came out of those into the medium risk. So now it's the same five funds, but now you've got 20% in high risk, 60% in medium, and 20% low in the fixed income.
Yeah.
All right. You can do that you can do that again. Let's say 20% is still too high. You can drop it down to 5% apiece. And then in your case, you might not want anything in fixed income, so you'd move that up into the medium or high risk funds.
Okay, yeah, or I could say I would like less in the fixed income and move it to the higher risk.
Yeah, you don't even have to put any money in fixed income based off your score.
Yeah.
But that's where you got to try to understand what your risk is and what your comfort level is with that risk. And then you allocate the monies according to your comfort level.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll be 60 in about 2 weeks, and I'm pretty healthy. I plan on working as long as I can, so, but of course you never know when you're 60 what health issues are going to arise. It's kind of scary, but anyway. All right, so...
So your homework is going to be to go through these and eliminate the ones you don't think you want to even mess with. Go ahead and eliminate those out, and whatever you have left, start deciding how you want to what percentages you want to put in those based off of where it is in the risk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And
when you get done with that, you're more than welcome to call me on that. Once we get this part figured out, the paperwork's easy.
Yeah, I just. Like I said, I've been thinking about this for like 5 years. I told my husband 5 years ago we needed to start working on this. And, of course, he's retired and been not very healthy. So, but anyway, I'm doing it now. But
there you go.
So I'll do that. And so the paperwork as far as doing that, and I think I told you the other day when I was looking at my work thing the other day when I was doing like a scenario is moving stuff. It was like saying I was going to pay 20% of doing a rollover, but you don't have to pay anything if you do a rollover, correct? I mean, unless you have to do it until you actually take it out.
Yeah, as long as you're not taking possession of the money and we keep it in the same kind of a tax status that it is now, then it will not trigger a taxable. Let me explain to you why I say it that way. If money that's in there now, the 401k, is tax deferred. In other words, no taxes have been paid on it.
Okay. Yeah.
You keep it in that kind of an account. So you move it to Timothy plan, you put it in a tax deferred IRA with us, which is the traditional.
Okay. Yeah. I think you explained that the other day.
All right. And then if any portion of that money is after taxes, then you'd need to open a Roth as well so that we move the monies into the right tax status so we don't trigger any kind of taxable event.
Yeah, no, I don't think so because I had rolled it over from my other account to this one.
Yeah, most likely it's traditional or tax deferred.
A few years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. But on that note, if, say, later I decide that I want to start investing in one that's not tax deferred,
you can.
I think we talked about it, go up to like $7,500 now.
Yep.
Or,
yep. As long as your income exceeds the amount of money that you can put into there up to $7,500, you're fine.
Okay. And that would be something that I could just, like, I could either do a lump sum at the end of the year or I can have y'all take it out of my account, on my checking account every month.
Yep, that's actually a good way to do it because that way you're buying shares 12 times versus buying at one.
Exactly.
Let's say December rolls around, you haven't done it yet, and the market's way up, and you put $7,500 all in one time. Well, you paid higher per share than maybe you could have if you'd have split it up into 12 different payments. There's chances that you'd have paid lower on some of those purchases, so your overall cost would be lower again.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like I buy stock into my HCA company, which I don't know if that's even worth it anymore either. But okay, so yeah, and I think I saw an application in here for that too, right? I actually had a picture of a blank checking.
Yeah, yeah, that's on all of our applications also. And if you don't have the traditional IRA in there, hang on here, I can check here.
I have a traditional. Is that what this would be? Would be a traditional IRA transferring?
Yes, it sounds like. Yeah, so I gave you traditional. Yeah, I gave you the traditional packet. That's what
I
sent you.
This for SEP IRA, and then there's one that's true. Traditional SEP or simple IRA.
Yeah, that's the transfer form. You're going to use A and B. I take that back. I'm sorry. If the account is the account 401k now?
Yeah.
Or is it an IRA? If it's a 401k now, then you have to do Form A. Let's start with Form A. Form A is the new account application that establishes the account with us. Okay. If you're going to either use Form B or Form C, depending on what account you have now. If it's a 401k, you are doing a rollover because you're rolling it over into a traditional IRA. So then you would use Form C for the transfer, which is a rollover or transfer, because you're changing it's from an employer plan. 401k is an employer plan, to a traditional IRA, which is an individual plan.
Okay, and then I would send this to y'all, and y'all would take care of the rollover?
Yep. You're going to send that to Omaha, Nebraska, the address on the bottom of the last page of each one of those forms.
So what do I have to do? Just give them my account number from work and or?
No, if you look at it, there's I think page one of the rollovers, it asks you for a statement, a bank statement, or not a bank statement, but an account statement for that account. Something you get online, or something you get quarterly. Even your quarter that you last in, if your last quarter would have been in July, January, July sometime.
Okay, and then I just put how much I would want to put over into it.
That you'll see that in it. That's on the new account application.
Okay, so if I have questions once I get to that point, I guess I can call you or something.
Fill out as much as you can and you feel comfortable with, and before you send it out, you can give me a call. We can kind of tie it up.
Okay, so I will do that then. Like you said, go over each one of the. Now, this other page that's on here, or this other little packet that's in here.
That's ETFs.
What is that telling me?
Those are not available to you coming direct.
Oh.
Okay. Those are if you had an online brokerage account. And you wanted to be able to use those in your online brokerage account, but you're coming direct so that you can keep your cost down. So those aren't available.
So then I just put NA on the top of that one then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the small cap, the core ETF things are NA for me.
Correct.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, I'm not smart enough to have an online account. My daughter-in-law's brother, though, is a financial advisor, but he's also in the service. So he's like... what do you want? What is he, Stephanie?
Airplane?
No, the not. He's not full time. He's reserves. He's reserves. So he's deployed right now. But anyway, alrighty. So I will set that out. Timothy. Mr. Bryan. And sorry to keep you later because I know you're supposed to leave at 4:00. But
not a problem.
Well, I'm glad you're busy, but I'll try to go over this and try to get back with you at least by next week, okay?
Sounds good. I should be here.
Have a great weekend.
All right, you as well. Sounds good. Right. God bless you. Bye now.